Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, if you had someone that is very successful in life and successful in the kingdom of God, and they said, listen, I've got one thing, you really need to get this in your heart, this one thing. Amen. I think my ears would stand up, and I would be listening very, very close. Amen. Like one of the ex-presidents that was asked to speak at a graduation ceremony at a college, prestigious college, and they went through the whole ceremonies and everything, and it was his turn to speak. And he was a renowned individual, and he stood to the pulpit, looked at everybody, and he said, I have a message for you today. Never, never, never give up. And he walked away and sat back down. And that was his message. Amen. They probably were a little bit let down, but I'm telling you, when you've been through the fire and you've been through the flood, and you've made it successfully all the way to the end, I want to listen to somebody like that. And I want to talk about listening to the Apostle Paul this morning. Amen. Because I feel like that this is for somebody here this morning. Let's pray together and let's ask for God's help. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth this morning. We ask you to anoint it to our hearts, speak to us, touch us. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning, and let's get right into God's Word here today. Amen. It's very easy, if we're not careful, to go into areas of life that are unprofitable, and it is easy to go in directions that are hurtful. We probably, all of us, have gone down that road, considering the age that is in our presence here this morning. We've all made mistakes, we've all done things, and we look back and say, why did I do that, and what really is the most important thing that I should think about when it comes to life and when it comes to the decisions of our future? Amen. Some decisions are not really that important. Some decisions are very important. Living for God is a decision that is very, very important. Can you say amen? Can you say amen this morning? All right. Praise the Lord. And here we have the Apostle Paul. And I want to talk about him for just a few minutes here this morning, because it's not just somebody, but this is the Apostle Paul. And in order to get a handle on what he was saying about this one thing, he said, this one thing I do, this one thing I do. And I believe that if we can get a hold of that one thing that he did do the one thing in our life and in our heart and our mind and our spirit, then I believe I can be successful, and I believe that you can be successful. I believe that you can come from where you are to where you need to be just by following this one simple thing. Amen. There is an attitude that he is talking about here this morning. But really, to get a handle on what Paul was saying here and the full depth of what it means to look at the man himself is something that we need to do this morning. It's one thing to, tell others what to do. You know, some folks are very good at that. They they specialize in that. They feel like they have achieved and they have arrived, and that they're very good at what they do. And so they go around and they tell everybody what they need to do. I'll just give you a hint here this morning that when you do that, you're not going to have as many friends as if you would just accept people for what they are and go on. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And the apostle was not someone that that was like that. He understood. He had a comprehension of what it meant to live for the Lord, of what it meant to walk with God and to be successful. If we're to look at someone that is successful, we would need to look at the Apostle Paul. He was very successful in his life, very successful in his calling in life, and he went the second and the third and the fourth mile. Amen. We don't need to get this understanding to go around and tell everybody else what they need to be doing in their life. Somebody said one time, it was in another church, there was a couple that had a couple of children, and everybody commented on how well behaved their two children were, and they always had advice for everybody else on how to raise children, and they were so, they were wise. Everybody looked at them and said, wow, how do you do that? And of course, then there was a long discourse on how to do that. And it's very easy when everything's going all right, but when things are not going quite so well, it's a little bit of a different story. And the individual that was telling the story said that all of a sudden they had a third child. And the third child was out of control, would not listen, and all of a sudden the advice stopped. Amen. They didn't have any more advice for everybody else about how to raise their children because of that situation. Amen. And I believe this morning that if we are going to help somebody else, then we need to experience it for ourselves. Praise God. And really, folks, what we need to understand is that none of us know everything, and really, God hasn't given us the right to go around telling everybody else what to do with their life. Amen. He's just given me the Word of God, and let me live it out and let my light shine. Amen. This one thing, Paul could have went into a lengthy discourse, and actually he did bring up some things that are very important for us to get a whole idea of what it means to say, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul said, this one thing I do, this is how I gain the victory over and over and over again. He said, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward unto those things which are before me, and I press forward for the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so it's very easy for any of us to say, well, just forget about it. Very easy to say, well, just let it, you know, just like water off a duck's back, just let it go and all of that. I've come to understand in life that those words are not received very well when it just comes from anybody. I'll just give you a hint this morning that when your friend or someone that you know is going through difficult times, Don't give them all the answers of life. They're not looking for all the answers of life. They're just looking for somebody to walk with them through this time of trouble. Praise God. And somebody that will be a friend, somebody that will comfort them and aid them in their difficult situation. The book of Job, and you don't have to turn there this morning, is a great example of that, how that he found himself in in the lowest place that probably anybody could find themselves. And there he was, and then all of a sudden all these friends came along, quote-unquote friends, and they had all of these things that they were instructing him of. But what we need to see is that none of them were right. Amen. We're living in a day today in a lot of areas where people that are learned and people that are achievers are being criticized by people who have never done anything in their life. Amen. And it doesn't ring very true, and it doesn't come across very well. Praise God. And so the apostle here made this statement, but he made this statement after he made some other statements. And I'm not going to stand here this morning and tell you just forget about it, just walk away from it, and give you a simple, easy answer. I'm going to direct you this morning to the Apostle Paul. I'm going to let him be the teacher of the Sunday school class this morning, and I'm going to let him do the instructing today about what it means to live for God and the thing that needs to be done for true victory in your life. Amen. Sometimes we look at achievers and we say about them, they don't understand what I'm going through, and that may be true. But I believe that the apostle here understood some things. He was very wise and very deep in the word. And in fact, the apostle Peter even said he writes things that are very difficult to understand. And very learned and insights, not only insight from the mind, but this man at one point in his life was caught up into the third heaven and heard things that were not lawful for a man to even speak or repeat. Amen. And so if I'm going to listen to somebody, I want to listen to somebody like him. Amen. Your pastor's never been caught up to the third heaven. Amen. I have not heard the audible voice of the Lord, but this man had, and he met Jesus Christ. He actually saw him face to face, and quite an apostle here. So let's go back. I read Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. I want to go back up the chapter here to Philippians chapter 3 and starting with verse 4. And I want to read down through verse 6. And if you'll help me here this morning and give me an amen every now and then, I'll give you a quarter for every amen after the service this morning. Praise God. All right. Need somebody to keep track here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. All right, now here's a man that's able to do these things without the Holy Ghost in his life. Here's a man that's able to be able to write this down and challenge. It's kind of a challenge here, and Paul was that type of a person. He was very aggressive. And he could challenge you and push you. Thank God not everybody is like that. Well, praise the Lord. Some people think that confrontation is the way to changing others. Well, if you'll just listen to this bit of wisdom from your pastor this morning, I've learned that I can't change anybody. Praise God. And it doesn't matter what I say, I'm not going to change them. Amen. It's just going to be a confrontation. I don't like confrontation. Amen. I like peace and righteousness. Anybody with me this morning? I love peace and righteousness. But Paul here, he said, okay, anybody out there that is better than me, let's measure it out here. And let's see who is greater than the other. He said, I can have confidence in the flesh. And actually said, if there's anybody else here that thinks they can have confidence in the flesh, he said, I can have more confidence in my flesh than you can, because I have more discipline than you do. I have more ability than you do. Now, we could look at that and say, he's a braggart, and he's just bragging about it, but I don't think that he is here. I think what he's trying to do is make a point to tell us that I have accomplished a lot of things in my life, and I can trust in my flesh. Not only that, I'm going back in my lineage. Basically, he's saying I can take my lineage all the way back to Adam and Eve. Amen. I am of the stock of Israel. I'm one of the children of God. I was born a Jew, and I've got some things that I can talk about here. Not only am I a Jew, but I'm a Pharisee, and I am very zealous, and in relationship to the law here, touching righteousness, he said, I am blameless. There's no one here that can show me where I have misrepresented or where I have done something contrary to the law. I have kept the law. I have done it exactly perfectly right all the time. Nobody can point a finger at me. Amen. Now, I wonder this morning how many of us would be able to say that. I know I can't say that. First of all, I didn't know anything about the law. I'm not of the stock of Israel. I'm just a Gentile out here. Don't have anything when it comes to the Commonwealth of Israel. Don't have any of the promises or any of that. All have sinned and fallen short. That's me. Amen. As far as the law is concerned, I don't have any idea about that. Didn't know anything about the law, didn't know anything about righteousness or any of those things. And so he said, basically, I have the opportunity. Now, he's not taking the opportunity, but he has the opportunity to glory in his accomplishments. Amen. And he's really saying, I have more opportunity to glory than anybody else. Many have said that probably the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest apostles. That he wrote most of the New Testament. He actually, after his conversion, and you think about this morning, it's really profound. After his conversion, he went down to Jerusalem and stood Peter face to face and pointed out to the Apostle Peter some things that he was doing that was not right. Amen. He's just a new convert. He is a murderer of Christians. He's a man that had so much zeal and so much aggression in his heart, and yet there he was talking to the Apostle Peter and straightening him out. Amen. We're talking about a man here that when he says something, we need to listen to what he says. Praise God. His accomplishments were impressive and awesome. They really were. He just had that ability. Have you ever been around somebody like that, and they've just got it together in every area of their life? Almost makes you sick, doesn't it? Are y'all okay here this morning? Praise the Lord. Is anybody here this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Well, make me feel like I'm here today. Praise God. We got something here in the Word of God that's really awesome. And so he had the Old Testament heritage. circumcised on the eighth day, could prove that he was of the tribe of Benjamin. Nobody could take away his lineage. Nobody could take away his history from him. And there's something powerful in this. There's something powerful in culture. We really don't understand this as much as the people in his day understood this. And so when he wrote this, it had great power behind it. It had a tremendously strong message behind it because Paul could actually go back to the written genealogies. He could go back put out a questionnaire. Has anybody ever caught me doing anything that's a contrary to the law? He could boast if he wanted to boast. He could say, I did it, and he would be correct in that. And very, very few people would be able to say that he had accomplished all of these things in his life. We, on the other hand, when we are that way, and we begin to look at ourselves, and we begin to say to ourselves, you know what? You're pretty good. You know what? You're doing really good. You've got some things together. I'll tell you what, this morning, when you start thinking like that, you're thinking wrong. Amen. And yes, it's good to know that you know some things, but I'll tell you what, this morning, we cannot glory in our accomplishments. And if we do, then we are setting a trap for ourselves. If we are boasting in what we give, or we are boasting in our faithfulness, if we are boasting in any of these things outside of Jesus Christ, we are setting a trap for ourselves. Amen. Because whatever we do, the very best that we can do, the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. The very best that I can do is falling short. Amen. I thank God for this church and much of the woodwork and so forth I did myself. But I cannot go around boasting about it. I'll tell you, when I get to heaven and I go into my mansion, I'm going to say, my, we were worshiping in a tar paper shack. Praise God. It's going to be so glorious that any accomplishment that we could ever do in this earth would pale in comparison to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. Paul had some things here. Let's look at a few other things. Acts chapter 22 and verse 3. Just stay with me here this morning. Acts 22 and verse 3. And here he is, and he says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye are all this day. Amen. So not only did he have ability, the Apostle Paul had the very best of teachers of his day. He was schooled in the highest educational institution of his day. He was not a slouch. Amen. He was not a fake individual. He was not somebody that just boasted and bragged. When it was all said and done, if you wanted to talk about accomplishments, he could talk about accomplishments. I remember talking to my dad's brother, and I met him and was talking with him, and it's been a number of years ago, and he's passed away since then. And we were talking about things that we had done in our life, and I said, well, I've been to Israel, and I've flown into Turkey, and been to the country of Jordan. He said, oh, he said, that's nothing. And then he started telling me what he had done. And I just sat there like a little schoolboy thinking, why did I even open my mouth? Amen. This man had done so many things. He said they got into a car and they drove from Egypt all the way up into Europe. This was back in World War II. And I love to hear the elders talk. Amen. The older folks that are among us, they've got some stories to tell that make our stories look like kindergarten children. Amen. And so Paul's saying here, excuse me, that I've got a pedigree. Let's go to chapter 23 and verse 6. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. But I'm just gleaning a few things here and there in the Word. Not only was the apostle here a Pharisee, but he was the son of a Pharisee. He was raised up in this, and he was a second generation preacher, if you please. He had the stories of his father and all of that. Now, I'm going somewhere with this here this morning because when we say, oh, I can't get rid of my past, I can't get rid of, I can't forget those things which are behind, I want to take you to somebody that when he said, I'm forgetting those things behind me, he really was giving up a very, very a lot. Amen. He was giving up a lot of his past, and it was not something that was very easy for him to do. Chapter 26 and verse 5, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And so he was in the strictest part of his religion. There were different sects, if you please, and one would believe this and the other. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection. We believe in the resurrection today. But this man lived in the strictest sect of his faith. And so growing up as a child, it was very strict in the house. And growing up as a child, there was very many difficult things for him to probably comprehend and understand. Why are we doing this? Why do we live this way? And he was actually in a home where the father was very concerned about doing things right. It made an impression upon him. It really did. It made an impression in his life that this is the right thing to do. And then when he got older, he followed after that himself. And he made all of these claims. He made the claim, and it was true, that for the strictest religion and for the Pharisaical way and part of his religion of his day, the Bible tells us that zeal was the trademark of this man. Not only was he a Pharisee of Pharisees. Are you all with me here this morning? Amen. Not only was he a Pharisee of Pharisees, not only was he schooled by the greatest teacher, he didn't cut classes. He didn't cheat on the tests. He was very zealous, amen, meaning that when he put his heart into it, he gave it everything he had, and when he put his heart into it, it was because he loved this. It was because he was very zealous. He thought in his mind, I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do. I'm doing this because I don't want to let my dad down. I don't want to let my teacher down. I want to stand up as the best in my class and the best in what I am doing. I want to be one of the Pharisees that speaks the most often. I want, because I've got something to say, and I understand this law of God here in the Old Testament. And so he had an awful lot in his life that if he decided all of a sudden in one day to give his life to Jesus Christ, you got to understand what this man is saying and where he's coming from, because he killed people who called on the name of Jesus. That's how much Christians were hated in that day. And now, all of a sudden, when the light shines from heaven and knocks him off his horse, and he's on the ground and he's blind, and he hears a voice from heaven that says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord speaks and says, "I am Jesus. I am the very one that in your mind is opposing, is against, is trying to destroy your Pharisaical ways and your religious status and all of the things that you have accomplished in your life. If you were to pile them up over here and then you put Jesus over here, amen, you're going to have to get rid of all of this if you're going to follow Jesus Christ." That's what he was facing. That's exactly what he was facing. Some folks today, we can't give up some of the most simplest things in our life to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. We cannot commit things in our life that would be inconvenient for us. If it's too inconvenient for me, well, don't count me in. Don't expect me to be there. Amen. But this was not that kind of a man this morning. And I believe that he can speak an awful lot to us here today. Amen. Because he said, "I do this one thing." Amen. This is the key to success. This is the key to victory, to ministry, to all of the avenues that God has for you in your life. There's one thing: forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to the things that are before me. Praise God. Isn't it true that oftentimes it is the things that are behind us that chain us to our past? Amen. It is the things that are behind us. I know I'm ministering to somebody here this morning. And if you really want the victory in life, you got to get a hold of this and understand that here's a man that had an awful lot of stuff that he had to get rid of. Amen. He couldn't be what he was anymore. And this is what he worked for his whole life. This is what he had done for his whole life to achieve and to get to this place. And he got to that place. And now he's faced with all of this stuff over here, or eternity with Jesus Christ. He got a revelation of who Jesus was. He got a revelation of what Jesus could do in his life. And then all of a sudden, it came before him. Either this stuff or Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you know what? He said, "I choose Jesus." Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Just like Abraham said, "I choose to walk with God. I'm leaving my family. I'm leaving my friends. I'm leaving my mom and my dad's home. I'm never coming back. I'm following God." Amen. "This one thing I do." Amen. "Forgetting those things which are behind." Now, you'll never forget, but I think what he's actually saying here is turning your back on them and not accepting those things as a part of your future. Paul could never have been a writer of the New Testament if he had hung on to the law. There were others that hung on to the law. They gave their lives to God, but they held on to their Pharisaical past. And they went around from synagogue to synagogue, and they said, "You have to be circumcised if you're going to be saved." And they wanted to have the Old Testament law and Jesus Christ at the same time. Listen, friend, you can't hang on to the past and have Jesus in your future. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. It's not going to work. It's not going to be something that will be workable in your life. Amen. And he spoke of righteousness. And the righteousness that he spoke of, that he was able to accomplish, was the righteousness which was of the law. Amen. So he was good at doing things. He was good at disciplining himself. Amen. And let's look in Philippians 3 again, verse 7 and 8. And he said, but what things were gained to me, and all that we've been talking about this morning are the things that were gained to him. He had gained here and there in his life and had come to a place of success, come to a place where he had established himself as a religious leader among religious leaders, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom, look at this morning, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now you talk about commitment now. Amen. You talk about commitment to Jesus Christ. Oh, well, I've got some stuff in my past that I want to hang on to. I'm here to tell you in his stead, in the apostle's stead, that it's not worth hanging on to, because there are some things in the past you can't hang on to and have Jesus at the same time. You're going to profess it for a while, but it's not going to last. It's not going to be anything that will help you in the future. Praise God. I've got to abandon my past, because my past was me. My past was my accomplishments. My past was my failures. Amen. My past was the things that others had done against me. Amen. My past was the heartache and the difficulties. Well, praise God. And you cannot hang on to those things and go forward into your future and be blessed with Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Because there's got to be a point where the past and the future come together and we make a decision. We're either going to live in the past, or we're going to break free from the past and live in God's present and God's future. Well, praise the Lord. And so I'm not telling you this morning just forget about it. I'm showing you a man that said, that's what I did. Amen. And this is what I gained in victory because of this. Amen. And he talks here about his attitude towards these things. Amen. And his accomplishments and all of that. Most of us here this morning, we can't really talk a whole lot about our accomplishments. But if we were to open the floor up this morning, I don't know if we don't want to do that. Amen. We could talk about the failures of our past and the things that we have done that we could use as our resume of failure. Praise God. And I said this, and I did this, and we could go into the difficulties and the things that others have done toward us, and we build a resume, if you please. We build a slate with all of these things on it, and this is me. This is where I am in my life. But I'm here to preach to somebody this morning. That's not you when you give your life to God anymore. And if you've been a great accomplisher this morning, and you're a billionaire today, and you've got a going company, and you've got all of these things that you've done, and you've written self-help books about how to be successful and the art of the deal and whatever else you want to talk about this morning. Amen. All of that is no longer me. Amen. But what I am is Jesus Christ. What I am is God. Amen. What I am is the Holy Ghost inside of me. What I am is the Word of God that He has revealed to me. Praise God. And my goal now is not the things of this world, even though we live in this world. Paul was a tent maker, he was probably very good because of his nature. He could put together a really good tent. And in one place, he wrought with them. That means simply that he got a job and he worked. And he made tents, because that was one of his trades growing up. He could do that. And here he was, a Pharisee of Pharisees. But because of his commitment to Jesus Christ and his travels, now he's got a job, a menial job of making tents. Praise God. I'm just making tents. But I'm telling you this morning, if your goal is to be a rich person, if your goal is to be this or that or the other, be careful. Be very careful this morning, because outside of Jesus Christ, it's not something that is going to really bless you. Amen. If God's in it, then praise God. Go open up a tent-making company, and it'll be blessed and it'll prosper. Praise God. But if it's not of God, and if it's not in the will of God for your life, I'm telling you, just abandon that thing, amen, and get rid of it. Praise God. And so let's go down a little bit further here. All right, Philippians 3 and verse 9, he said that I may win Christ. And then verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now think about this here this morning. After he dealt with his past, then and only then could he deal with his future. When he dealt with his past, and he looked, if I could just say it this way, all the pile of accomplishments of his life, all of the things that he could brag and boast of, and that he was better than everybody else. Amen. We see that. We see that in every place of our world today. We even see that in the church sometimes. You know, came and started the church with nothing, and now we're running 5,000. And it's only been 6 months since we got started, you know. Those kind of stories. And accomplishments. You know, I'm great at this, and I'm great at that. Hey, listen, I'm telling you today, friend, we've got to deal with our past before we can ever deal with our future. Amen. Because you'll never run a race with a ball and chain on your feet. You'll never win the race. You may not even make it to the end of the finish line. Amen. So you've got to break free from those things of the past. And notice here that the future that Paul described didn't have anything to do with his past. He didn't open up a school for Pharisees that want to know Jesus Christ and minister to those and reach back into his past and all of that. And I know some have done that. Brother Charlie Mahaney was a drug user, and after his conversion, got into the prison ministry aspect of the home missions, and went to prisons and visited people. And that's sometimes the way it works out. But usually, you want to get as far away from your past as you can. Praise God. Well, I understand those people. That's the problem right there. And God did not allow the Apostle Paul to have a ministry to Pharisees. He tried at first, and then the Lord showed him the reason you're not having any success here. Because he immediately after his conversion went into the synagogue and started preaching Jesus Christ. And then the Pharisees turned and wanted to kill him. and he had nothing but troubles and problems, and they were going to take his life, and they had to let him down over the wall in a basket. Amen. He was nothing but trouble when he was with the Jews, because he could confound them. The Bible says he confounded them. They got confused. They said, man, we can't answer some of the questions you're asking us. We don't have a response to what you're saying. You're so educated and you're so good at this. History records they had to change his guards every 15 minutes when he was in prison, or he would convert them. He was that zealous and that good at it. And so what did the Lord do? The Lord said, Paul, I've got a job for you to do. I've got a calling for you in your life. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, the rednecks, amen, the wild ones, those ones that didn't know where Genesis was, that didn't know about Moses or any of the stories of the Bible. So this morning, don't worry about what you know or any of that, amen. What you need to come to, and what we all need to come to, is that future that I may know him. I'm not trying to get all these accomplishments so I can tell everybody else what to do. Amen. I just want to know him. Amen. And I can't know him when I've got all this Pharisee junk in my head. I can't really know him when I've got all of this past that's following me along. So God said, I'm going to make you a prophet to the Gentiles. I'm going to send you over there to the Gentiles, and you can talk to them about the Bible, and they'll scratch their head, and you're going to have to get down so basic, amen, that it's going to make you cringe. It'd be like a major PhD mathematician teaching kindergarten kids how to add 1 + 1. It would drive you crazy. I went to school to learn all of this fancy stuff. I've gone to school to learn all of these things, to expound the knowledge to people that want to come up higher, and you want me to go to kindergartners? Yeah. You know why? Because you can't live for God and hang on to the past. Come on, somebody. You can't live for God and hang on to the past. And so he went a little bit further here, that I may know him. Amen. And then, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, praise God. What a message from a man, amen, that could boast of this, that, and the other. And he said, listen, if you can just get to know Jesus, you've got it made. John chapter 3, and I'm going to finish with this morning. Musicians, would you come? John chapter 3, here was a Pharisee. John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know what Jesus told him? The Lord told him, he said, you got to forget all this past. Nicodemus, the reason you're feeling unsettled and that you need to come and talk to me, and you've got to delve deeper into these things, is because Nicodemus, you're a Pharisee. You've accomplished some things. You've done some things that you can boast of, that you can brag about. You've done some things that are so powerful that you will hang on to them. Nicodemus, you must be born again. You got to start over, Nicodemus. You got to start over. Are y'all with me this morning? You got to start over. You say, well, I'm elderly. Listen, if you're going to live for God, you got to start over. Amen. Well, I'm young, and and I've got my whole life ahead of me. Listen, you got to start over. But thank God we have the opportunity to start over. That we don't have to be chained to our past, to the failures of the past, to all of those things of the past that hindered us. You don't have to live there. Thank God, this message of being born again. He said, well, how can a man be born when he is old? How can I start over? How can I accomplish this? Well, we could go to Paul and say, forget those things which are behind. Just take that pile of rubbish called your past. He said, I count it but dung. It's just ready for the dunghill. It's not worth anything. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't look good. It doesn't, well, praise God. It's my past. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to go there. How can I do that when I'm old? And Jesus said, here it is, Nicodemus. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You say, well, I've done that. Well, listen, if you've done that, praise God for that. But don't ever let the chains begin to come back and shackle you again. Don't turn and look back, amen, and become a pillar of salt. We need pillars in the church, but we don't need pillars of salt. Well, praise God. We need pillars in the church, but not pillars of salt. Amen. That are so salty that nobody can stand to be around them. I've been there and done that. This is what you need to do. Hey, listen, we need some pillars that'll show us how to know Him. We need some pillars that are prayer warriors. We need some pillars. Praise God. Amen. That can say, hey, come on, let's have a prayer meeting together. I want to show you how to know God. This is how to know God. Forget those things which are behind, and let's go forward from here. Praise God. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit, he said, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why did he say that? Because when we are born of the water, amen, we are actually participating in the gospel being the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And he showed us, he became the first fruits of them that slept. He showed us an example of what the rest of the harvest will be like. And so he died. And listen, folks, that's where the past gets thrown into the rubbish heap. When we find that place of repentance and we turn away from the past, that's exactly what that means. Amen. Maybe you've been done wrong by somebody. Maybe you've done somebody wrong. There's a myriad of things that we can go through in our past. I could take the whole time this morning plus more and give you my testimony of things that went wrong in my life. But you know what? The devil meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. I got to lay those things down. Amen. I've got to forgive my brothers that sold me as a slave. I've got to, I can't go forward when I'm looking in the rearview mirror. I can't go forward in my life when I'm hanging on to these things that destroyed me before and they're continuing to destroy me now. Come on, somebody. I know I'm preaching to somebody here this morning. You got to be born again. You've got to repent of your sins. And repent of whatever it is you need to repent of. Amen. And then be baptized. The Bible says that we are buried with him by baptism. And so the old man dies and he is buried. That's how we take care of the past. That's how Paul could say, I've laid all of those things down. I've laid them down. They're behind me now. And now I'm going forward, and I want to know him. I want to know him. I bring my body into subjection every day. And you got to remember the accomplishments of this man and his attitude and his zeal every single day. I mean, he's got us all beat hands down the way he lived for God every day. But it's an example to us every day. I've got to know him. I've got to seek him. Yes, we've fallen short. Could you say amen if you've fallen short? Amen. We've all fallen short, but I want to know him. I want to be a part of his church. I want to have a ministry within the church. I want to help somebody. I want to spend my time praying for somebody. I'll tell you, every revival church has prayer warriors in it. Every single church has prayer warriors in it. Every revival church. Amen. I just want to know him. I want to know his will. And if you came this morning with that hunger in your heart, I want to know God, you're on the right track today. But if you come this morning with a hungry heart, not knowing which direction to go or what to do, how can I get free from depression? How can I get free from anxiety and fears? Listen, we are all subject to these things. But I'm telling you this morning, we've got to take the example of this man of God, the Apostle Paul. Forget those things which are behind. Put them under the blood of Jesus. Can we stand together this morning? Let's stand together. Praise God. Praise God. Go ahead.